What we want to discuss today is a little bit about the mitzvah of slichos. We'll start with the levush, and then we'll get on to the main topic for today. The levush writes in Arachayim, Siman Tov Kuf Pei Aleph, starting with what we call the Sephardic Minhag of the Edot HaMizrach, that from Rosh Chodesh Elul they wake up very early until Yom Kippur, in order to recite Slichos v'tachnunim. However, he says the minhag Ashkenaz, and everyone who follows that minhag like we do today, is the following. When we get close to the Yom HaDin, when Rosh Hashanah falls out on a Thursday or a Shabbos, then we start earlier at the beginning of the week to be Makabel Pnei Shechina, and we wake up in the Ashmores HaBoker, starting with Sunday before Rosh Hashanah, and that'll give us the minimum number that we need of Slichot, which is 5. However, if Rosh Hashanah falls out on a Monday or a Tuesday, there's no such thing as Rosh Hashanah on a Sunday, like this year it's on a Monday, so then you don't have 5 days if you start from Sunday, then we wake up from Sunday beforehand. Even though, again, all we need is 5 days, but they made a kind of a low plug, a uniform halacha, that we should always start on a Sunday, meaning Motzei Shabbos. He doesn't go into detail about why that is. Perhaps it has to do with the fact that Shabbos is a spiritual uplift for us, and then we're ready, we're in the mood for Slichot. Why the number 5? So he says the following. The original minhag was to fast 10 days before Yom Kippur, or shall we say 9 plus 1 Yom Kippur itself, and reach the magic number of 10. But that's impossible, because included in the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, and we don't fast on Rosh Hashanah, and we have the day of Yom Kippur, and we have Shabbat Shuvah. So all in all, we have 4 days which have to be subtracted from the number 10. And therefore he says, in order to make up those days in which we cannot fast, we're going to recite Slichos. Okay, can you hear me?
Hi, Roberta. Okay, I'm going to have to move the guys over to this other room.
Oh, I see.
So, just hold on a second.
So, I should hold on?
Yeah.
Let's just calculate this one more time. Let's say that Rosh Hashanah is on a Thursday, Yom Hei.
You have to start from the beginning.
Okay, I'm starting from the end, but I think if I start from the end, the beginning will be clear.
No.
So let's say that Rosh Hashanah is on a Thursday. In that case, you have Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday before Rosh Hashanah. And on all those 4 days, you could fast. Now again, the slichos is going to be a replacement for the fasting. So the original minhag, you had to get, the magic number was 10 days of fasting. So assuming Rosh Hashanah was on a Thursday, which is quite common, you were able to get all 10 days of fasting in. How so? You had the 4 days before Rosh Hashanah, which would be Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Wednesday night, Thursday is Rosh Hashanah. Obviously on Rosh Hashanah, that's 2 days we don't fast. On Shabbat Shuvah we don't fast. So we're already subtracting 3 days. What did I miss here? Just give me a second. So that's the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah we don't fast. Oh yeah, and then Erev Yom Kippur we don't fast because it's a mitzvah to eat. So when we strike out the 2 days Rosh Hashanah from our list of 10, plus we strike out Shabbat Shuvah, that's 3, plus we strike out Erev Yom Kippur from our list, we're left with a maximum of 6 days for fasting out of the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Now, in order to make up the other 4, in a case where Rosh Hashanah is on Thursday, so we have Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and therefore we made up the 4. Now, in place of fasting, we have Slichos, and therefore if Rosh Hashanah would fall on a Thursday, then we have no problem to start Slichos Motzei Shabbos Sunday, because then we get in those 4 days that we need of Slichos before we get to the to the other 6 days of Slichos during the Aser Simei Tshuva. If, on the other hand, like this year, for example, Rosh Hashanah is going to fall out on a Monday, so then we only have 1 day before Rosh Hashanah to add to the Aser Simei Tshuva. So what we're going to do is we're going to back up to Motzi Shabbos a full week and more, meaning 8 days before. We really don't need to. We could have actually started on Tuesday, and then we could have gotten in Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Well, let's say on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Well, yeah, we could start on Tuesday, and then we could have had Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then you would add Sunday, because Sunday night is Rosh Hashanah. But what we do is we always keep it uniform to a full week. Again, the Levush, who authored this 5 centuries ago, he doesn't tell you why it has to be uniform, why we always have to start Slichos on a Motzi Shabbos. That's a question he doesn't address here. You can, if you have the Slichot HaMafurash, which I have here somewhere in my apartment, then he has a whole introduction why, you know, the first Slichot that we have is the Motzi Shabbos Hikdamnu Menucha. No, it's Motzi Menucha Hikdamnucha. And that after the Menucha of Shabbos, that's the time when we want to say Slichot, we're in a spiritual high by the impact of Shabbos. In any event, that's just an introduction to this time of the year as far as Slichos is concerned. Hopefully, if we have time, I know it's getting late on your clock, I have plenty of time, but we may not have time to swing back to this, because believe it or not, the topic of Ashiya today is a different topic, but it does touch on Slichot. So what is the topic for today? The Torah commands us in 2 mitzvot at the beginning of this week's parasha, Parashas Ki Savo, and there's a certain striking similarity between the two. One is the mitzvah Bikurim, and the other is the mitzvah of Maaser Sheni. Now in both cases, we have what's called a Kriya, and it's a recitation. So if I bring Bikurim, the first fruits that grow on my tree, the first 7, then when I bring them to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash, there's a recitation which is called Mikra Bikurim. The same is true with regard to Maaser. And during the cycle of Shemitah, we have what's called Biur Maaseros. That means that we have Maaser Sheni on the first and second years, and then the fourth and the fifth years of the Shemitah cycle. At the end of those periods of time, the first 2 years, and then this next set of 2 years, we have to clear out all the Maaser from our house. And again, we have a recitation. So if you open up to Sefer Dvarim, Parshas Ki Savo, Perek Chavav, it says, V'yomarto lifnei Hashem Elokecha, v'yarti HaKodesh min habayis, v'gam nesativ la'levi, la'ger v'liyosam la'almono k'chol mitzosech asher tzivisani. And that's called Vidui Maaseros. You can know 2 things about Vidui Maaseros, but that's just going to distract us from our focus today. And that is, number one, that we're talking not only about Maaser Sheni, which is called Kodesh, but we're also talking about Maaser Rishon and Maaser Ani, because it says La Levi, which is Maaser Rishon, and La Ger V'liyosam Alman is Maaser Ani. And then another fascinating dimension of Vidui Maaseros is that Lechora, the word Vidui, which is codified in the Mishnah in Mishnayis Maaseros, in Masechta Maaseros, it says Vidui Maaser. There's nothing here that you could call Vidui, because on the contrary, what he's declaring is that I did exactly what I was meant to do. Lo avarti mitzosecha v'lo shachachti. So those are 2 points that I'm just mentioning on the side. But we're going to focus our attention on v'lo shachachti. And Rashi says something pretty strange here. What does it mean, lo shachachti, the last 2 words in Pasuk Yud Gimel? What is he declaring here? So Rashi says, lo shachachti milvarechecha al afroshas maaseros. Now if you take Rashi literally, he's talking about the bracha on afroshas maaseros, which means asher kitshon v'tzosu v'tzivonu lahafrish maaseros, or afroshas maaseros. The nusach ha-bracha, if you study the sugim sochim dav zayin, is al afroshas maaseros. But this makes absolutely no sense, because this declaration of Vidui Maaseros, in which he declares lo shachachti, which Rashi says lo shachachti milvarechecha, could not possibly be referring to the bracha on the mitzvah of Maaser, because that mitzvah of bracha is only derabbanan. We don't have a mitzvah, we don't have a bracha d'oraisa. Well, maybe we have a bracha d'oraisa in the case of Birchas HaMazon, maybe in the case of Birchas HaTorah, according to the Ramban, but certainly not Birchas HaMitzvah. Birchas HaMitzvah is a rabbinic invention. So how can you tell me that when I recite and fulfill the mitzvah d'oraisa of Vidui Masos and I declare Lo Shachati, I'm referring to the bracha? And Rashi, in a sense, is really just paraphrasing a Gemara Mesech the Brachos Daf Mem Amid Beis. The Sanya Lo Avarti Mitzvosech Lo Shachachti. Lo Shachachti Mila Haskir Shimcha Olof. Now, truth be told, there is a discrepancy here between the Gemara, the original source in the Gemara, and Rashi. The Gemara says Lo Shachachti Mila Haskir Shimcha Olof, which is a more generic kind of mentioning of God's name. Whereas Rashi seems to focus, hone in on Levarechecha Al Hafroshas Masros, which sounds like the Nusach of Birchas HaMitzvah Asher Kitchonim Mitzvos V'Tzivoni. So the great commentary on Rashi, on Chumash, is the Mizrahi, and he points out this discrepancy, and therefore he says we misread Rashi if we read it too superficially. Rashi doesn't mean Lo Shachachti Milavarecha Al Hafroshas Masros, meaning the bracha on Afroshas Masros, the Nusach HaBracha, because that was established by the Anshei Knesset Hagdola to recite a bracha on Afroshas Masros. That can't be included and incorporated in the mitzvah d'oraisa vidui Masros. HaBracha al kol mitzvahs eino ela midivreihem. And therefore, Pirush, he says you have to rewrite the Rashi, or at least reinterpret the Rashi. And what Rashi means is, Lo shachachti mi l'shabechacha u'milavarechacha b'eis hafroshas masros. Doesn't mean al hafroshas masros, a quote of the Nusach, but when I bring masros, I have to remember, this has to be in my mind, to praise you, God, and to bless you. And what this does is it adds a whole new element into the equation here. Because generally speaking, when you compare and contrast the first mitzvah in this week's parasha, which is called Mikra Bikurim, with the second mitzvah in this week's parasha, which is called Vidui Masros, you would have come to the conclusion that the fundamental difference is that whereas in the case of Bikurim, the essence of Mikra Bikurim, of the reading of the parasha, is Shevach Vahudoya, to thank Hashem for giving us the land and giving us the produce of the land. In fact, this is the parasha Arami Avi, which we recite on Leil Pesach at the Seder, because we're thanking Hashem for taking us out of Mitzrayim. And that's Kulo Shevach Vodoya. In contrast, the recitation of Vidui Masros is not Shevach Vodoya. It's really all about a declaration that I fulfilled the mitzvos of Hashem meticulously. And now Rashi, based on the Gemara Brachos, is adding a whole new variable into the equation, and that is that even in the case of Vidui Masros, the essence of Vidui Masros includes not just a declaration about my meticulous commitment to fulfill the mitzvahs of Maser, but also to add into the equation the element of Shevach and Bracha, that we thank Hashem that Maser Sheni is a great opportunity to fulfill Hashem's will, and to bring the Maaser Sheni all the way to Yerushalayim, where we have to eat it, B'Kedusha B'Tara. And that opportunity which is given to us requires us to recognize Hashem's greatness, to praise Him and thank Him for this opportunity.
How are you going to forget it if it's part of the lashon of the declaration that you make?
Because it's not part of the Lashon. It really isn't. If you open up the Chumash, you'll see that in contrast to the first mitzvah of Bikurim, where the entire recitation is full of thanksgiving and gratitude, the second mitzvah, which is the mitzvah we're dealing with now, which is the mitzvah of Vidui Maser, has no element of thanksgiving to it. We don't express any gratitude. The only basis for adding this element of gratitude into this mitzvah Vidui Maser is two words, V'lo Shachachti, which again, if you would have taken it al pi pshuto shel mikra without Torah shebal peh, V'lo Shachachti simply means I didn't forget any of your mitzvahs, I didn't ignore any of the requirements of Maser, I fulfilled it meticulously. There's no mention here of Shevach Vodoya. And really, Shevach Vodoya enters into the picture through the back door, through a very thin window, and that is through the two words V'lo Shachachti. So that really adds a whole new element into the equation. Now, this element of Shevach Vodaya requires another element, because if I'm in a bad mood, if I feel I've been, you know, I've been anguished or I've been cheated and I'm not happy, I'm not satisfied, it's very hard to get to the frenzy, to get to the point where I start thanking Hashem, God, you're great, and look what opportunities you sent my way. You know, one of the things that we ask for, I mentioned it last week, on these days, is Avinu Malkeinu Kosveinu B'Sefer Zechuyos. And you may remember that last week we pointed out that we're asking Hashem to write us down in the book of opportunities of Zechuyos, meaning whatever Zechuyos we have, and that's already written up, inscribed in the book. But what we're asking for in this Avinu Malkeinu is to give us more opportunities and a myriad of opportunities during the year to come. And in order to ask Hashem to give us opportunities, we have to appreciate those opportunities. Appreciation means I'm excited about something. You gave me a gift, or you invited me as your guest, and I appreciate that so much. And therefore, I thank you and I praise you. All that gratitude is because I'm so excited about what you did for me. So there's an element here that's, I think, below the surface that we're going to try to bring during the course of our Limud here. We're going to try to really have it emerge from below the surface. And that's the element of appreciation out of a state of almost excitement, of joy. And let me just mention to you, and we'll get back to the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah in a minute. Again, I have no clue if you have the sources in front of you, but is anybody who has this in front of them? I sent out a WhatsApp.
Yeah, we have. Okay,
okay, if at least one person has it, that's good. Because, again, when we get excited about an opportunity to do a mitzvah, we realize that the mitzvah, any mitzvah, is an opportunity to reach a higher world, so to speak, to enter into an eternal world. The Gemara says in Kiddushin, which is number 7 here on the top left, Tanan, Kol Osim Mitzvah Achas, you do even one mitzvah, Mitivim Lo, and the Yerushalmi expands upon this. What does it mean, Mitivim Lo? God gives you something great. He says, Marichim Lo Yomav, his life is expanded. V'nochel es ha'aretz. So the Mepharshim say nochel es ha'aretz refers not just to this world, Olam Hazeh, but also to Olam Haba. So we have an expression called Hashem, you've granted me the opportunity to reach Olam Haba. And this is the famous Gemara of Smichus Gula Tfuila on Brachos. The Gemara says Rabbi Ailah testifies about Ula, that Ula, whenever he succeeded in being Somech Geula Tefillah, again, you have to know why Smichus Geula Tefillah is such a difficult thing. It has to do with Vatikin, which means that you could be Mechavim the Shah exactly to the almost split second that you finish Gal Yisrael, exactly when Vasikin are reciting Tefillah. And the Gemara testifies about one of the great Amoraim, that whenever on any particular day that he clinched it, he got it right, he got gul smichus gul tefila lo fasak chucha mipum yakul yoma, he would smile the entire day. He was in a good mood for the entire day, because when a person is given the opportunity to be nochel es haaretz through a mitzvah, he is besimcha. He's in a great state of simcha. And here, Reb Chaim Vital, one of the great Bali Kabbalah of modern Jewish history, the Talmud Muvak of the Arizal, asks the following question. He says, you know what? I see many people who do mitzvos, and yet, Ra'inu kamav kamav b'nei yodim sholsim mitzvos v'einom es kaim divrei Rabbi Seinu. Where's the kiyum, at least in this world, of Marichin lo yomav? And we see people who are dedicated to do mitzvos on a daily basis. And where is the fulfillment of the divine promise that they'll get Arichas Yomim? We don't see that they Marichim Lam Yomayim. So that's the Kasher of Chaim Vital, which we hope, if we get a chance, to fit it all in and answer that question. But everything that we've been saying, whether it is the appreciation for Hashem giving us the mitzvah of Masa Sheni, and that's expressed in the fact that Lo Shechachti Mil Shabechecha Umil Varechecha, whether it be the statement of the Gemara and Yushalmi and Kiddushin that every time I do a mitzvah, Hashem bestows upon me an arichas yomim, whether it be the statement in the Gemara Brachos, he was so mekud tefila, and he was happy the whole day. All these statements indicate a great mitzvah of simcha. And this mitzvah of simcha, if you want to find its source, it's right here in Parashas Kisavo. And the Torah says the following. In the curses, because we have klolos and tochachos of the most harsh, the harshest in all of the Torah here in Parashas Kitovo, the opening line here is Tachas esholavadetas Hashem elokecha besimcho betuv levav umeirov. Called the Rambam dedicates almost an entire chapter at the end of Hilchas Sukkah to describe the essential significance of simcha, of avodas Hashem besimcha. And sometimes we don't realize why is it that our avodas Hashem doesn't seem to clinch it. In other words, we're getting curses, chas v'shalom, we're suffering and we get anguishes. What's missing? I mean, you just promised me, the Gemara Kiddushin, that if I do a mitzvah, even one mitzvah, is ma'arichin lo yomav, mativin lo. I mean, where's the mativin lo? And maybe the secret lies and the absence and the omission of simcha, because simcha is crucial, is critical to the mitzvahs. And here we quote the Shem Yishmuel, that's the Sukkot Shem, who in turn quotes Rav Moshe Leib Sassover. Again, I wasn't alive to have known him, but his grandson, the Sassover Rebbe, was Baruch Hashem at our wedding in New York City. And the Sassover Rebbe is famous for saying that Machmas Minias HaSimcha, if we don't do the mitzvah of Hashem B'Simcha, Magia Onish Gadol. And he wants to know, why is it that we get so punished in a such severe way? That's the opening line to the Tochacha in this week's parasha, because Lo Avadetas Hashem Elokecha B'Simcha. We don't really understand, we don't recognize or acknowledge why Simcha should be so critical, that in the absence of Simcha we're considered Lo Avadetas Hashem Elokecha, and therefore you're going to serve your enemies, and Hashem is going to send us Rav and Soma and everything else. So we have two points here. One point is clear, and one point is a question on that very clear point. What's clear is that Simcha is essential, and that defines your Avodas Hashem. What's unclear is, why is that so? And it cuts ice, because we're going to see that the punishment for the lack of the absence of Simcha, the omission of Simcha, is so severe. Why is that so? And maybe that's going to give us the key to unlock the mystery of Reb Chaim Vital's question as to why we see so many people who are doing mitzvahs, and yet we don't see that God's promise of Ma'arichin Lo Es Yomav is actually fulfilled. Now on the side, let's mention the Brach of Shechianu. Shechianu is a great example of simcha. What I mean is, I have the opportunity to do a mitzvah. Again, I always have the opportunity to do a mitzvah, but there's certain mitzvahs that come from time to time, and we very rarely have the opportunity to do those mitzvahs. Take, for example, the mitzvah of shofar. It only comes once a year. And take, for example, the mitzvah of lulav. Comes once a year. So l'chora, when we say Shechianu v'kimanu v'hegiyonu l'zman hazeh, we're thanking Hashem for giving us this opportunity. We're in a state of frenzy, of enjoyment, of simcha, because of this very rare opportunity. It comes once a year. We don't have that many mitzvahs that, you know, that come once a year. And we should be reciting Shechianu. So the Rimi Gash tells us that the local minog in Alisno, which I think, if I'm not mistaken, is somewhere in southern France, was that on the lulav, they left out Shechianu. And only on the shofar, they recited Shechianu. And this perplexed the Rimi Gash. And he wanted to try to find some sort of justification for that minhag. And he came up with the following analysis. And this you'll saw, if you're on the bottom left of page 1, it's 5 lines down from the bottom of this paragraph, at the end of the page, on the left side. He says, Vatshuva, he says the following, that with regard to Lulav, so why is it that we don't make a Shechianu on Lulav, according to this particular minhag? That's not our minhag, but that was the minhag of the Rimi Gash, and yet we make a Shechianu on Shofar. So So he says an amazing chiddush over here. He says that the Shehiyanu that we recite on the night of Rosh Hashanah is a derabbanan. For example, we make kiddush on Rosh Hashanah at night, and we make kiddush on Leil Sukkos, the first night of Sukkos. But he says there's a fundamental difference between the two. He says the Shehiyanu on Leil Rosh Hashanah is only derabbanan, whereas the Shehiyanu on Shofar is the Oraisa. Now we have to understand.
No, 1 second. Not on Shofar. I'm sorry. On Shofar. Okay, got it.
So again, the Shehiyanu on the night of Rosh Hashanah is only derabbanan. Again, we have to understand why that's so. Probably because there's no sukkah on the Leil Rosh Hashanah. But basically, the underlying premise here of the Rimi Gash, one of the great Rishonim, the Rebbe of the Rambam, is that the mitzvah of Shehiyanu, the bracha Shehiyanu, is d'oraisa. The only problem is that on Leil Rosh Hashanah, we don't have a bracha of Shehiyanu d'oraisa, which we do have on Lulav. And the reason for that is that on Leil Rosh Hashanah, we have no special mitzvos. And therefore, the Shehiyanu, on this opportunity for a mitzvah, is only d'rabbanan. Now that derabbanan has to do with what we call the Kedushas Hazman, the Kedushas Hayom, which the inception of which is on Leil Rosh Hashanah. But we don't have a special mitzvah on Leil Rosh Hashanah, a new mitzvah. The new mitzvah on Rosh Hashanah emerges with daybreak. And that Shehiyanu is a Chiyuv D'oraisa, Pilei Ploim, a Chiyuv D'oraisa to recite Shehiyanu. Did you ever hear such a thing? And that's what the Rimi Gash assumes. It's one of the greatest of the Rishonim, that the Chiyuv of Shehiyanu on Shofar, and for that matter on Lulav, is d'oraisa. The only difference is that in the case of Lulav, I already recited Shehiyanu on the Lulav, and I fulfilled my mitzvah d'oraisa when I recited Shehiyanu at night. Again, that works with a very complicated premise that the Shehiyanu on the night of Sukkot can cover two different mitzvahs, the mitzvah of Sukkah and the mitzvah of Lulav. That's very complicated, not for us now. But if we grant him that premise, then on a d'oraisa level, we've already covered our bases as far as the chiyuv Shehiyanu of Lulav, because that we did last night when we made a Shehiyanu d'oraisa over Sukkah plus Lulav. However, in the case of Shofar Rosh Hashanah, since we don't have Shofar on Leil Rosh Hashanah, there's no possibility of a chiyuv d'oraisa of Shehiyanu. We may have a d'rabbanan because of the Zman, but we don't have the d'oraisa because of a new mitzvah. That has to wait till the next morning, the morning of Rosh Hashanah. Then we have a chiyuv Shehiyanu on the Shofar, which is a Chiyuv d'oraisa. Now, again, he may have recited, and he definitely did recite Shehiyanu, the Leil Rosh Hashanah in Kiddush, but that's only a d'rabbanan. And therefore, the Shehiyanu d'rabbanan of Leil Rosh Hashanah cannot cover the Chiyuv d'oraisa, because let's say if I'm Chayiv on a d'rabbanan level, I can't be Motzi you if you're Chayiv d'oraisa. So if I recite Shehiyanu on a derabbanan level on Leil Yom Rosh Hashanah, because there's no mitzvah d'oraisa of Shehiyanu, there's no new mitzvah on Leil Rosh Hashanah, then I have a chiyuv d'oraisa of Shehiyanu, and I cannot kill two birds with one stone, meaning I cannot fulfill my chiyuv d'oraisa of Shehiyanu during the day with the Shehiyanu that I recited at night, which is only derabbanan, because the derabbanan can't cover a d'oraisa. Mashenkin, in the case of lulav, he says, to justify this minog, The Shehiyanu on the lulav at night is only the Shehiyanu on lulav at night is a d'oraisa Shehiyanu because of the brand new mitzvah of Sukkah, and it covers also the brand new mitzvah of lulav, even though this is the complicated part, the brand new mitzvah of lulav will only emerge in the morning, but it doesn't matter, the Shehiyanu can cover both the night and the morning, and therefore we're not going to recite another Shehiyanu on lulav. We already were yotzei with the Shehiyanu at night over both Sukkah and Lulav, and that covers the Doraisa of Shehiyanu. Okay, I don't know if you caught all the minute details, but I hope you all caught one point over here. That's the point I wanted to make. And that is that according to the Rimi Gash's presentation, the mitzvah of Shehiyanu is Doraisa. And that is an amazing chiddush. Again, I have to qualify. It's not that every single Shehiyanu is d'oraisa. I buy a new suit. That's not Shehiyanu d'oraisa, or even a new yontif. So, for example, Leil Yom HaKippurim, which is only Zman, there's no new mitzvah that I'm reciting Shechiyonu, and that's only Durabanon. But in the cases of Shofar and Lulav, where there's a new mitzvah, the opportunity to do a new mitzvah requires that I thank Hashem on a Doraisa level. And perhaps the source for that is the parasha of Vidui Masros, Velo Shachachti, meaning I got this opportunity to do a mitzvah, I have to be Mavarech. So you'll ask me, Rabosai, if there's a mitzvah d'oraisa based on Lo Shachachti to thank Hashem for the opportunity to do a mitzvah, why don't we do that in every single case of a mitzvah? And the answer is that we only do it on a rare mitzvah, and that was the precedent of Vidui Masros, which comes only after Shnas Abir, you know, every couple of years. But when we have that rare opportunity to do a mitzvah, we're so excited about that, that we have to thank Hashem. And the essence of thanking Hashem is to say, God, we appreciate and we're excited about the fact that you gave us this opportunity to do a mitzvah. And the one who really, really expands on this concept of being excited about a mitzvah is the Sefer HaRedim. And if you take a look on page 2, you'll see that he sets up all the conditions that are necessary to fill a mitzvah. And on his list, we get to number 4, Hasimcha HaGedola B'mitzvah. He says it's critical that we have an experience of simcha, and that's part of the mitzvah. He says, "Kol mitzvah mitzvah shetizdamein lo." Whenever he has an opportunity to do a mitzvah, it's doronahu. It's a gift. This shadr le'akud shabrichu. God Himself has directly given you a gift from God. Do you feel that? Do you realize that? And he says, "What kind of schar? What kind of reward are you going to get for a mitzvah? Is it this much? Is it that much? Minimum, maximum? Lefi rov hasimcha yigdal schara. The amount of schar that you get, says the Sefer HaRedim, is commensurate to the amount of simcha, the intensity of your simcha." And he quotes Rav Yitzchak Ashkenazi, one of the great mekubalim, an ish sod who reveals the secrets of the Torah, and he says about himself, that how was it that the Shari HaChochma, the gates of wisdom and Ruach HaKodesh were opened before me? Why was I zoche, asked Rav Yitzchak Ashkenazi, to see and perceive all these experiences of Ruach HaKodesh? Bischar Shaisi Sameach Masiyas Kol Mitzvah Simcha Gedol Olein Tachas. The simcha that I felt of doing a mitzvah was so intense, I was zoche to somehow have that experience. And then he quotes the pasuk in our parasha in the Tochacha. It says, "Tachas lo shavarta es hashem akech besimcha v'tuvleva mirov kol." What does it mean, mirov kol? Kamini tainuk shema olam. We get so involved in the pleasures of the world that what becomes insignificant in our priority system is the tainuk that we get from mitzvahs. And in truth, if we don't have the right perspective, then the tainuk from mitzvahs is greater than kol zav upaz rav havonis tovos margalios. It exceeds all the riches in the world. So if we appreciate the mitzvah and we do it b'simcha gedola, the reward will be commensurate. And this idea really comes much earlier than the Sefer HaRedim in Rabbeinu Bechai. And here in Rabbeinu Bechai in Parshas Ki Tovo, perhaps one of the most important paragraphs in all of his commentary on Chumash, and I'm a big, gigantic fan of Rabbeinu Bechai, he says the following, that the Torah here in the parasha of Tochacha is pointing, excuse me, a very harsh accusing finger at us. And why? Because lo hoisa avodu b'simcha lefi shechayev ono v'asimcha b'asko b'mitzvahs v'asimcha b'maisa mitzvah b'fnei atzma. He says that when we add the element of simcha into the equation of any mitzvah, we add a whole new dimension, an independent mitzvah of simcha. Milvad aschar sheish la mitzvah atzma. He says, in addition to reward for the mitzvah, he's going to separate independent schar and reward for the simcha. And therefore, if every single mitzvah gives him an opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of simcha, and he fulfills the mitzvah, but robotically and impassionately, without any feeling and any ecstasy, then Yanesh Bekan, he's going to get punished, Lamisha Oved, avodas hamitzvah below simcha. He says without simcha, you leave out the occasion of simcha, it's a bittul hamitzvah. Leaving out simcha itself is a bittul hamitzvah of the most harsh and severe weight. Lachain, says Rabbeinu B'chai, almost stands up in front of us to give us a musash moves. Sack it to you, as you would say. Sorech sheyasa adam hamitzvah b'simcha b'kavana shlema. And he quotes the famous Medrash in Rus. I've spoken to you about this many times, that Reuven didn't realize what an unbelievable occasion and opportunity he had to save his brother Yosef. And had he realized and appreciated that opportunity, he would have been safe. He would have carried him piggyback back to Father Jacob. If Aaron would have realized that when he went out to Mekabel Moshe Beinu, who is now appointed as the Redeemer of Israel, he would have gone out with Samach Beliba with a great simcha. Then Betupim and Mecholos Ayotzi Lekros, so he would have had a 7-piece band. And the same is true for Boaz. If he would have realized that when he gave food to Rus, he was embarking upon the beginning of an enterprise that would culminate with Bias HaMashiach, with David and Mashiach, and then he would have Agolim Fitumim HaYamachila, instead of giving a kali and a couple of bran flakes, he would have brought back, you know, roasted pheasant meat. And we all are sometimes guilty of the fact that we don't realize that Hashem puts us at a crossroads with an unbelievable opportunity to do a mitzvah. Last night I gave a shiur on the mitzvah of Hachnasas Orchim, and I pointed out that this is Hachnasas Orchim is such a primary example, paradigmic, of these two ideas. Number one, appreciating the unbelievable opportunity that went your way to be Machnas Oreach. Again, we're not talking about Hachnasas Orchim the way we do it, which I call Yedidus. You know, I invite you over for a meal this Shabbos so we can spend time together, which is all lovely. And next week you invite me over, and it goes on and on and on, and we get to we have our own personal Hachnasas Orchim club. But if you're not on the list, you don't get invited. You know what I'm saying? That's not the mitzvah that I'm talking about. I'm talking about a mitzvah of someone who needs a place, and you're there at the right time in the right place. And that should lead you to the other element of Hachnasas Orchim, which I spoke about last night, and that is simcha. The essence of Hachnasas Orchim, the poskim write, is simcha. If you're not mekabel in the simcha, then you might forfeit all the schar that you want to get for that mitzvah. So in that sense, receiving guests is a paradigmic case of these concepts that we're dealing with today. Rabbeinu B'chai has authored another book besides his commentary on the Torah called the Kadakema, and he has a whole chapter on simcha. He says HaSimcha he mitzvah min HaTorah. You shouldn't think that, you know, this is just the bretzel of a chassidus. You know, the idea of simcha and mitzvah is a doraisa. And he says Nitztava Adam Olel, we're commanded in simcha. Ki hi avoda. He says that's the avoda to Hashem Yisparach, and it sets up the avodas chashuva as something very significant. And the element of simcha, he says, is chashuva yoser min hamitzvah. You see, now he adds another element. In his Rabbeinu B'chai al Torah in Parshas Ki Tovo, he says that there's another element and another mitzvah that you can fulfill with every implementation of a mitzvah, and that's the mitzvah of simcha. But he doesn't compare the two, the mitzvah itself and the mitzvah of simcha. And you would think that the mitzvah of simcha is an auxiliary part, perhaps a secondary part of the mitzvah. He says, nay, the mitzvah of simcha is even greater than the mitzvah itself. Ad kedei kach. And the Chasam Sofer goes even a step further. And the Chasam Sofer writes that the schar, when a person does a mitzvah, is so much greater if he does it b'simcha. He says, "Haschar al masha adam sameach b'mitzvah hu gadol yoser mehaschar al yidei hamitzvah atzma." Again, I don't believe that the Chasam Sofer had access to the Sefer Kadakemach. I could be dead wrong about that, but he came up with this idea on his own, and he adds the following comment. He says, "Yodua shasimcha shadam sameach asiyas hamitzvah si yoser mehamitzvah gufa v'yeschar al asimcha yoser mehaschar al mitzvah atzma." Unbelievable. Both Rabbi Abachai, going back 9 centuries, and the Chasam Sofer just 150 years ago, they both emphasize that the schar for simcha is even greater than the schar for the mitzvah itself. And perhaps we can find at least a hint to this in Rabbeinu Yonah, one of the greatest of all the Rishonim. In his Shari Tshuva, he writes that b'shar hayomim atovim anachnu kovim se'udo l'simchas ha-mitzvah. He says the following, that on a yontif, we have a seuda, and that seuda, by its very definition, becomes a seudas simcha. Ki yigdal v'yiske ma'od b'schara mitzvah al b'schara simcha al mitzvahs. He says the extension and intensification of the mitzvah, of the schara mitzvah, through simcha is ma'od. He says it's a great intensification, and it really makes the schara into that much more profound of a mitzvah, and profound of a schara. And here he quotes a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim as an introduction to the pasuk in this week's parasha Ki Tovo, v'ata amcha hanimtzu po ra'isi b'simcha lisnadev loch. And Hashem says, I will come and offer you and bestow and bequeath to you so many great things because I find simcha. But if I don't find simcha, and it's all cut and dry and it's mechanical, then Hashem says, I don't find simcha over here. And then that leads us.
How are you defining simcha?
For that, I think we want to see the Shem Yishmur.
Because what Bob is saying is that there's certain mitzvahs that are simcha is anti to the mitzvah itself.
It is essential to the mitzvah, you're saying?
No, it's not essential. It's
built into the mitzvah?
Yeah, burying the dead. How do you have simcha?
Oh, yeah. So here I have to tell you a story.
You're putting something to death.
Here I have to tell you an unbelievable story about the Aderes. The Aderes is one of the great Gedolim here. He was very connected to Rav Kook. I'm going back, a century ago. And Nebuchadnezzar, he lost a close relative. I'm not going to tell you which relative it is because it might be negated to what's going on in Toronto now. And before the funeral, he locked himself up in the room. And, the funeral procession and the whole, the mitzvah kriya and so forth, everything was frozen, it was postponed. And they thought that after 5 minutes, he would come out, maybe he would compose himself in that tragic situation. And he was in the room for 2 hours. And he came out, and they cut kriya, and he recited the bracha baruch dayin ha'emes. So the talmidim were very curious. Again, I don't know who had the chutzpah to ask him. I wouldn't have had the chutzpah, but they asked the Rebbe, "What happened during that 2 hour period that you didn't come out?" And they had all sorts of ideas and speculations. So he told them that when it says in Chazal, to more brachos, that kishem shemavarchim al hatov, kach mavarchim al ra, the word kishem means that the same simcha that you have when you mavarch al hatov, you have to be mavarch al ra. Now again, Rabosai, the poskim already write that this is beyond our level, so I don't want anyone here to think that I am giving you a musish moves like we saw before in the in Rabbeinu Bechai when he says, when he yells and screams and he says, make sure that you do the avodah b'simcha and so forth and so on. Here we're talking about a whole different set of circumstances. But anyway, the Aderes answered the following: I couldn't get myself into a frenzy of simcha, and it took me 2 hours until I was ready to make this bracha b'simcha. It's an amazing thing. We sometimes have fast days and solemn days, and we have avelus, and we assume that there's no room for simcha. So we assume that the mitzvah of avelus, for example, is tsar. There's a Rashi in Sukkah, again, this is a whole different discussion, not for us now, that says that tsar is not part of the mitzvah of avelus. And when we say Ivduas Hashem b'simcha or Tachas Hashem l'avaltem Hashem l'kechem b'simcha, that applies to all mitzvahs. So there's certain mitzvahs that seem absolutely antithetical to simcha, and somehow, even in those situations, we have to come to simcha. I always tell the story of the Blucher Rebbe I'm not sure what the name of the camp was right now. It'll come to me. And the Hasidim, who knew they were in different bunks, of course, you couldn't recognize the Blucher Rebbe at that point, but they were in different bunkers, and the word got out that some of the Hasidim and other Jews in the camp were saving their rations of margarine because Hanukkah was coming around. And rather than use the margarine, which they needed desperately for their dry bread, which they got morsels of, they decided to save it and make oil out of it so they could fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah. And the word went around from bunker to bunker on the first night of Hanukkah that the Blucher Rebbe was going to light the Ner Hanukkah. And it's unbelievable because in those situations, to leave your bunker at night, if you get caught by the Nazis, Yimach Shemon, it meant sure death. And especially on Hanukkah, they were looking for this kind of thing. So I don't know, miracle of miracles, but the bunker, I forget what number it was, bunker number 14, where the Blucher Rebbe was known, again, the Nazis didn't know that, but the Jews knew that. The entire bunker filled to capacity. And they watched the Blucher Rebbe as he made two brachos, and he lit the candle, and then he hesitated before he made the third bracha. And then he made the third bracha. And years later, there was another survivor from that camp, besides the Blucher Rebbe, who was not particularly religious. But he came, when he was in Brooklyn, he heard that the Blucher Rebbe was fearing Tish, and he came to see the Blucher Rebbe because he was with him in the camps. And he said, Rebbe, I have one question to ask you. Why did you hesitate before the third bracha? So the Blucher Rebbe responded, I think I've told you this story. She tells this story, what's her name? Yaffa Eliach. Beautiful story. And the Blucher Rebbe says, how can I make the third bracha? To thank Hashem, Shechiyonu v'kimonu v'gyonu zman hazeh? When just a few feet outside the bunker, there are bodies that are laying piles and piles of dead bodies who were beaten to death brutally. But then I looked around at the faces of the people who had gravitated to this bunker just to be mekayim the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. I said, gosh, if I'm part of such a nation, then Shechiyonu v'kimonu v'gyonu zman hazeh. So again, I'm just pointing out, and this is a very long and complicated discussion about adversity and how can possibly be besimcha at the time of adversity and a time of avelus. It's a very, very difficult situation. But getting back to Bobby's question, what is the essence of simcha? And what is simcha? So if you take a look, he says that the very first mitzvah, and I think this is perhaps paradigmic of what simcha is, the Chasam Sofer in his Pirush on Parshas Vayechi writes that the very first mitzvah that a person could fulfill in his life, you guessed it, is the mitzvah of simcha. Why is that so? He reaches the age of bar mitzvah with Seisak Kochavim, and he sas v'sameh. Why is he so besimcha? It's not just a birthday, happy birthday. Today I'm a fountain pen. But he says, Sameach shezocha lekabel ol mitzvah Hashem. If we only appreciate what an opportunity is, imagine what simcha you would feel like if the prime minister, again, let's talk about the previous prime minister. I liked him a little bit more. If he would call you in for a personal meeting. Okay, I don't know if you like Donald Trump, I don't want to get into politics here, but you get called in front of the melech of the entire country. Now, multiply that by a million times, you're talking about the melech Malchi HaMelachim, who calls you in, and he says, I have a task for you, I have a responsibility for you, I'm going to impose upon you an obligation. In the case of Bar Mitzvah Boy, I'm going to give you 613 mitzvahs. And this is the King of Kings. He says, this simcha that the bar mitzvah boy feels, and again, halavai that every bar mitzvah boy, because sometimes I think it's more of a bar than a mitzvah, if you know what I mean. And if he really feels the intense happiness and the joy that he was chosen by the melech malchei hamelachim for this opportunity to be a shliach hakel, to fulfill avdus Hashem, it's got to be besimcha. And that's the first mitzvah that he fulfills when he enters into being a bar mitzvah. He hasn't even put on tefillin yet. It doesn't matter. He feels simcha because of the opportunity to fulfill all the mitzvahs. And it's amazing because Rashi says in Masechta Rosh Hashanah on the sugya of mitzvah slav lehenos nitnu, Rashi says, when a person does a mitzvah, he feels it's a chok kavua al savaro, something along that line. And he declares, "Ani oses a mitzvah latzeis yudei chovasi lifnei koni." Everything that Rashi says sounds like it's a statute. It's an obligation. It's the weight that weighs on his shoulders. No, what we're saying now is that on the contrary, it's a great simcha. It's an opportunity to do a mitzvah. And here I want to, if you have a few more minutes, I know you have to run, just to see the Shem Mishmuel here in Parshas Ki Savo. After quoting the Rashi that we began with, Lo Shachachti, he says, Tamua, Habircha Brachos Rabbanon. How could it be that this is part of the mitzvah of Ubiarti HaKodesh Min Habayis, that I blessed Hashem, blessings are only the Rabbanon. He's not aware of the Mizrahi who reinterprets the Rashi. But rather, he quotes, in the name of his father, the Rimi Gash. And the Rimi Gash tells us that there's a brach of Shechiyonu. Now, why is the brach of Shechiyonu d'oraisa? Remember, we said we were amazed by the Rimi Gash, who says that when you get an opportunity for the first time to do a mitzvah, you recite a brach of Shechiyonu mid'oraisa. How could that be? Kavonas advarim, ki ikar ha-mitzvah hu ha-chiyus va-simcha u-tshukas ha-odom le-mitzvah. A craving for a mitzvah. You know, whatever your favorite food is, you know, some people have a craving for steak, and if you're a little health oriented, maybe you have a craving for a good salmon, you know, you get a broiled salmon, maybe you like ice cream. I don't know what your favorite is. Some people crave schnapps. Okay, fine. But you know that there's something called a craving, you know, an intense desire to have a tshukas ha'odom le-mitzvah. You know, we don't usually use the word tshuka to describe the feeling that I have for a mitzvah. Out of the depths of his heart, I always say, and I think you've heard it from me, that when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, you know, some people, you know, they pack their bags and go on Aliyah because it says in Shulchan Aruch there's a mitzvah of Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. That's a very complicated sugya where there's a mitzvah to live in Israel. Let's assume you paskin lechumra and there's a mitzvah and obligation to live in Israel, right? So now you say, well, it says in Shulchan Aruch, so just like I have to put on tefillin every day, it says in Shulchan Aruch, I have to live in Eretz Yisrael. That's not going to do it, Rav Osai. If you want to live in Eretz Yisrael and pack your bags, it's got to be mipnimius halev. It's got to be that you feel an intense craving and a desire to be in Eretz Yisrael and to form and to set up your domicile there. Al Kain says the Shem Yishmuel, who mishtokek, he's longing. Masai tovel yodei mitzvah yasena. You remember the famous story about Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. It was the first night of Sukkot. He had his esrog in a glass jar, a glass container, and he waited up the entire night, waiting for daybreak, in order to take the lulav at the first opportune moment. The only problem is, when he saw the sun rise, he mistakenly forgot that the esrog was in a glass container. So he had to have stitches because he lunged for the esrog. I mean, that's what we call mishtokek lemitzvah. He says the pasuk in of all people is Bilam, who says Hein am klaviyah kum ka'ari yisnase. Rashi says they wake up in the morning and they wake up early in the morning. Chotfives amitzvus, not like the guy who wakes up and it's a cold day, so he goes back into under the blankets. You know, he has his beautiful quilt blankets. He says he jumps out of bed, kilavi yakub, like a lioness. He jumps out of bed and says, "Moral godol ishtokakus lemitzvah." There's nothing. He doesn't feel that he's missing anything in his life more than he's missing a mitzvah, an opportunity. So, for people who teach Torah on the ideal level, you know, you don't lose any opportunity to teach Torah, to share Torah with others. And that's true for Bein Ono L'Makom, Bein Ono L'Chavero. Any opportunity you have to have an impact on somebody else, to help them, to uplift them, it's got to come from pnimius. It's got to come from a feeling of almost emptiness. I need the mitzvah. I crave the mitzvah. And that is what Bilam understood about the very essence of Ma'alas Yisrael, of the great nature of Israel. He lauds them and praises them because there's no other nation like them on the face of the earth, because they have a tshuka for mitzvahs. Kilavi Kilavi Yakum Karius Nasei. Rashi says, Omdim Mishnasam Shachris V'chotvim Es HaMitzvos. That's what defines the special nature of the Jewish people. So if somebody approaches you and he says, why do you think you're a special nation? And you give them all sorts of explanations, you know, about Torah and mitzvahs, and you'll tell them about Yitzias Mitzrayim and Maamid Har Sinai, and you give them a whole spiel. The real answer to the question, says the Sheni Shmuel, is tell them that I belong to a nation that has an absolute, total tshuka for mitzvahs, that we want to be Ovdei Hashem. And our service to Hashem is not mechanical and robotic. It's not like we belong to a legal state, you know, and we have to worry. Like, I just got a letter from the Canadian government and I have to fill out 5 different papers in order to declare that I no longer live in Canada, you know. Then that's not how I do a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah because as a state, because I have an obligation to do so. Yes, for sure I'm committed to my obligation, but it has to go much beyond that. It has to go to Simcha. And Shechiyonu V'Kimonu is a bracha d'oraisa. Why is Shechiyonu V'Kimonu according to the Rimi Gash d'oraisa? Because that's the Ikar HaMitzvah. The Ikar HaMitzvah is to recite Shechiyonu. I can't wait. I live to this moment. And I survived to this very moment where I could do the mitzvah. And I waited for this mitzvah. I'm missing. Chaserli. I got a gaping hole in my nefesh because I didn't do the mitzvah. And we'll soon see, if we have time, how Reb Chaim Vital uses this to explain what our problem is and why we're not seeing necessarily the blessings of Hashem come to fruition. And it's all based on Yeshayo ben Amoz, who prophesizes. And it's all comes down really to the tochacha of Parshas Kisavah. And if you look in Tana Debei Elio Tezayin, it seems that there was a conversation here, and Elio was asked, Manish Tana Yishayo ben Amoz Mikol HaNeviim, why is it that of all the Neviim, Yishayo ben Amoz is number one in Misnabi Kol HaTovus V'Kol HaNechomus B'Yisrael? He is the paradigm of the Navi of Nechama, Yosef Mikol HaNeviim, Amarti Lo, and Elio responds, Bni, my son, Mipnei Shehu Hayam HaKabal Olav Ol Malchus Shomayim B'Simcha, Yosef Mishar Kol HaNeviim. All the Neviim were Makabal Aleihem Ol Malchus Shomayim, each one individually, but his, Yishayo Ben Amoz's level of Simcha exceeded all of those of the Nevi'im, all of the Nevi'im. And that's why he was Zocher to be the Navi, Behei Yedia of Nechama Yisrael. And these are the weeks of Nechama that we're entering in now, following the 3 weeks of Peronios. And that Nechama is connected to the Simcha of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, the craving, the excitement of being an Eved Hashem. And the commitment is not something that I do b'tzar. Take a look at Reb Chaim Vital. He says, the shoresh, the root, and everything stands on this root, is that it's not enough to do the mitzvah ba'asiyah, just as an external action. The action of kemasa, and he views it as a weight, a responsibility on his shoulders. Umimayr she'isirma, all of you wants to, as quickly as possible, take the weight off his shoulders. El, on the contrary, Yaksho Besichlo, he should think, Yilu Basosos HaMitzvah Yarviach Elef Alfei Dinrei Zav. Imagine what a great simcha if somebody would offer you masses amount of wealth. Everything that you would do would be out of the state of simcha. And this is what a person has to feel. He has to really believe this. It's a din and amuna, a reflection of his faith and his belief that God is giving me Elef Alfei Dinrei Zav if I do this mitzvah. That's the schar. And the flip side, the negative side, would be Tachas HaShalom Avadatas HaShalom Kechav Simchom Tuvlev. We don't really believe in the schar of the mitzvah. And that, he says, is the secret of the great Amoroim, Rabbi Bruna, that he was so Mekulat Fila, Lo pasa klucha mipumi kol yomahu. He was smiling and happy the entire day. V'zei yoreh, and this indicates alchius emunas bitchono, He has a total faith and reliance on Hashem, v'borei yisparach, v'tachlis ha'achron, the ultimate level of bitachon, yosem mi, misha'imo yaschar mezumen l'fonav b'fo'al, it's even greater than if the money was there on the table. And therefore, kefi godol simcha is be'emes v'tuv lev, pnimius, kach yizkel kabal or elyon, v'yim yasmid bazef, he continues with that intense simcha, ain't suffik, she yishra lov, ruach ha'kodesh, and yizochet ruach ha'kodesh. I want to just end with a few lines from the Chidah, in which he writes that when it says Hayom La Sosam Ulamoch Lekabel Scharam, that Schar Mitzvah by Alma Eleka, we don't have reward for mitzvahs in this world, and yet immediately after that it says in the Torah Voya Ekev Tishmaun V'shamar V'chulei, and then it says V'yahavta Uberechcha Berech Privitnecha, seemingly indicating the exact opposite. Pumfakir, that the schar of mitzvahs for hayal me'ika, that we'll get schar mitzvah in this world. So how do we reconcile this? He says the following, nicha, I have an answer. Schar mitzvah bi'atzma, the mitzvah itself, for hayal me'leka, there's no schar mitzvah. Matan scharon, li'osid lovo, mishumar, li'olam shekulo tov. Omnam, however, Asher yismach ha'odom v'kiyum ha'mitzvah, first it has an intense joy and excitement about the fulfillment of the mitzvahs, and v'amola b'torah, and his work, his toil in Torah, is then, with that simcha, is b'hai alma, he's zoche to simcha. V'karno Torah b'kovod, he says the ultimate kovod is for the osid lavo, but here in this world, in this very world of Olam Hazeh, he will enjoy the benefits and the schar of Simcha Shel Mitzvah. And he says, Bavura Simcha Nizon V'Olam Hazeh, the very sustenance that he gets in this world is from the Simcha that he has in Asiyas HaMitzvahs. So Yiratza Wish Mizoche to this great experience of Simcha in Mitzvahs. The Chassam Sofer says that's our power against the Satan. The Mituk HaSatan, the Ikro, is Kisha Ose Al Yedei Simcha Avodas Hashem. And that's against the Tachas HaShol Avadata in the Peronios, in the Tochacha of this week's Parsha. We should be zoched with that intense craving and appreciation for the mitzvahs. It's Lo Shachachti, I haven't forgotten to thank you, Hashem. It's the Shechiyonu Doraisa on the occasion of an opportunity to fill a mitzvah we saw in the Ra'ah. That's what we want to be zochen, that will be written Kosveinu b'sefer zchuyos for this Rosh Hashanah, for us, our families, all of Klal Yisrael, Ken Yiratzon, Amen.